The individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning. This is Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. And this is Mike Prox filling in for David Pruse this morning. And we're going to chat about a few things that have been on my mind that have been taking up a lot of my time and have been taking up a lot of the community's time. And we've got to see if we can figure out a way forward here to bring things to a more amiable resolution. So, if you want to join in on the conversation, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And so, with that, there has been a lot of ink spilled and discussion. Well, I don't know that there's been any discussion. There's been a lot of ink spilled about the Mancho trucking project. And that's taking up a lot of our time. That is really unfortunate. And I think we have to deal with this with a number, because the problems apply to a number of the public discussions we have. So we're going to have a public discussion about public discussions this morning. with that, so as everyone knows, there is a proposal by Kinross, more than a proposal. They have their permits, and they are moving forward. They just opened up the mine at Moncho down by Tetlin last week, I believe that was. They have their permits. The trucks are coming in, and they're going to be doing some driver's training over the next month or so, and they're going to be starting to haul ore from Tetlin to Fairbanks, up to their mine at Fort Knox. And this has generated some public concern, and that is quite understandable and acceptable. But is it rational? That is the question that we have to ask ourselves. There is a process in place to evaluate these projects. The state evaluates them. The Army State DEC evaluates them. The Army Corps of Engineers evaluates them. And there are opportunities for public input. And public input is good. I'm not complaining too much about public input, because that often improves a project. We should be taking a look at these things if we think that they're going to impact us. Because I worked on the pipeline for quite a number of years, and we did large projects always for modifications, and those are complicated projects, and you really have to think them through all the way, because mistakes in that industry are very expensive. And so the company, when they had a large project, they would call those of us that worked out at the pump stations in and evaluate those changes. And we went through them with a fine-tooth comb. And that was kind of our job to do that. And my experience was that it was an arduous process, but we always made improvements to the projects. And when you do that, you spend more time up front planning a project, but you have a better project in the end. It's more likely to succeed, either avoid accidents, avoid mistakes, or sometimes even save a lot of money. So the public input is good. I don't want to discourage that. But when we have these controversial projects, it is up to us individually to govern ourselves. That's what self-governing is all about. We govern ourselves to try and work with each other and not be just obstreperous and block something or complain for the sake of complaining. And we have to get there. In the case of this Moncho project, I'm in an advantageous position. I guess I'm in the legislature. So I heard about it. The Kinross and Border invited us out to the mine site location down at Tetlin, and we were going through that. And frankly, I was kind of impressed. I have always been impressed, frankly, with Kinross's operation, their focus on safety and minimizing environmental impact is good. And that when the Fort Knox mine was approved, and my goodness, I think that was over 25 years ago. Tom Owen, I believe, I think I got his name right, was the manager. That he went out of his way to think ahead, talk to the regulating agencies. What do you need? What are your concerns? How can we address those concerns? And he worked that into their project right from the get-go. And that got Fort Knox Mine off to a very good start compared to other projects. And we have to look at this in terms of time. There has certainly been some instances where mining activity has caused unanticipated impact, and so it's worth paying attention to this. And with the Clean Water Act, which was passed in 72, a lot of really good requirements were put in place. As I said before, I worked on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, and I read a bunch of the articles that Jones Gilbert had collected about that, and it made me kind of reminisce. But that project was held up first by the Native Land Claims and then by the Clean Water Act. That was the first really large project that was evaluated and permitted under the new Clean Water Act rules. And I think at the time, we all kind of griped, or those of us that like projects griped about that. That's just going to delay the project. But in retrospect, because of the delay and because of the requirements, the project was A, much more expensive, but B, much more well thought through. And it resulted in one of the just tremendous infrastructure projects. It was at the time the largest private investment for a project, and it has performed exceptionally well over the decades. So the process, I buy into. We need to sit down. We need to think that through. We need to provide our input. But just objecting for the sake of objecting and wanting to put a stop to everything does not do us any good. Things have to be developed. That's a modern society. It requires mining. It requires investment. It requires working together. It results in some inconveniences, unquestionably. But we have to think that through. We have a phone call. Somebody is delivering me. Thank you for calling. Good morning. You're on KFAR. And who am I speaking with?
Hey, this is Bo. How are you doing?
I am doing well, and you?
Not bad. That whole project where they're going to truck all that ore, I understand they're putting overpasses over the railroad tracks down there on the ridge.
That is happening as we speak. That was in place, planned, committed to way before this project was even considered. So that's part of the project.
If you believe that and I believe that, we should both be buying bridges somebody has to sell.
Well, if we are not going to trust each other and we're just going to take a position and not believe each other, then we can't have a conversation. Now, the process on the bridges, the overpasses, that I'm not a fan of those, by the way.
Well, if they do them, that's fine, but the whole thing was set up for this trucking project. And
that
the mine should be paying for the overpasses.
No, that just is not true. I have to correct you on that. Nationally, there is lots of funding available. They want, as a national policy, they want to eliminate at-grade railroad crossings. And this makes sense in New Jersey and places where there's lots of traffic at railroad crossings. It makes absolutely no sense to me to put that overpass at that particular location. That was a problem that has the crossing at that location has been a problem. I don't know if you recall, but quite a few years ago, there was fog developing from the cooling ponds at Fort Wainwright, which got corrected. But then they put in a turnout lane for school buses and vehicles carrying hazardous materials because there were a lot, meaning more than we wanted, rear-end collisions. But that was the impetus for that project. I think those lanes corrected that. I am not happy with the DOT spending money there, but it has nothing to do with the mine.
And who's going to pay for the road maintenance with those trucks running? What was the estimate? I heard one every 15 minutes.
Right. The projects need to be, there's a process for evaluating those projects. And the basic question is, if somebody proposes to do something, are you going to comply with the laws that are already in place? And that's environmental laws and traffic laws and every other law. And if you're going to do that, if you agree to do that, then you have as much right to anybody else to use the road. And those decisions, it isn't dependent on who is doing what or what they're doing. It is traffic volume, and does that meet highway design standards? And the DOT evaluated that specific one when I heard about that they were going to truck the ore from Tetlin to Fairbanks. I was surprised as everyone else. I didn't even ask a question. That was when I was out at the mine. Didn't ask them. The next thing I did was call DOT to see if they were in on the discussion. And I learned 2 years ago that Kinross at that point was working with DOT. They had evaluated all of that stuff. And the DOT has to determine, is the proposed traffic volume, the proposed weights, and et cetera, does that meet the design standards for the road? And the answer was yes, it does. Therefore, DOT didn't have it grounds to put a stop to it. And the way that the, I'm going through Pega Road, that doesn't make sense to me either. It made more sense to just go down the Johansson, but there were bridges across the Chena River that were not, oddly enough. That was a DOT mistake 20 years ago when they put in the Johansson. But that's why they decided to go down Pega Road, because the bridge over the Chena River is not designed to handle the weight of those trucks. And so then the question is, can those trucks negotiate the turns, the extra turns that are involved? And the answer was yes, according to DOT. So again, there's no reason to not give them permission to do that. And that's why that happened. isn't perfect.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, boy. I ran a business, owned a business for 23 years, did quite a few government contracts. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, never mind. I know how this crap works, and never mind. Have a good day.
Well, yeah, good. And I appreciate your frustration with that. Thank you for the call. And that is where we need to put more thought into the permitting process. That is an obscure process, and it is very difficult for the public to get involved effectively in that process. And you should talk to people like me about that. And I don't have the answer yet, but we've got to think about it in that terms. We have another call. Yeah, we'll take the call. We have to take a break for commercial messages, but let's get the idea out here. We have to have a cliffhanger. Good morning. You're on KFAR.
Good morning. This is Al.
Al.
Speaking of DOT and road design,
yeah,
and you're really good at finding out or fixing rumors, but I had at least a couple people tell me since the new intersection in front of Fort Wainwright mm-hmm. has opened, there's been somewhere just shy of a half a dozen accidents.
That could be. Let's hold that thought. We have a cliffhanger. We got to take a break for some commercial announcements and the weather. So if you'd hang with us, we'll be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
The team at Denali Industrial Supply would like to say thank you for joining them on their demo days this summer. And in case you missed the big savings from these events, they're offering September specials on Milwaukee, Makita, and DeWalt tools, batteries, and accessories. Whether you're a professional in the industry or a DIY enthusiast, the September specials at Denali Industrial Supply can help you expand your existing toolkit. Don't miss your chance to save on top-tier tools from Denali Industrial Supply all through the month of September. Denali Industrial Supply on Van Horn Road. Just look for the big red roof.
Ready to fix a great career for yourself? How'd you like to work in a fun and positive environment? Expressway Auto in North Pole is now expanding and is currently accepting positions for automotive and diesel technicians. Applicants should have at least 1 year of experience as well as the skills, knowledge, and attitude to excel. Additional certifications are a plus and can increase your earning power. Applications can be dropped off at Expressway Auto on the Richardson Highway in North Pole, or to schedule an interview, call 888-659-0631. Expressway Auto is an equal opportunity employer.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Overcast today with a chance for scattered showers. High of 57, winds out of the northeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 44. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, 64. Cloudy skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM. And streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to KFAR's Problem Corner. This is Mike Prox filling in for David Pruse. We have Al on the line, and we were talking about the Garza intersection.
Yeah, it's yes. If it's anything close to what people have been telling me for accidents there, and I just didn't have the time to research that, mm-hmm. or how to even go about it with city and state jurisdiction there,
mm-hmm.
that greatly exceeds the annual 1.5 or 2 vehicle accidents per year that they had before they even fixed the fixed the intersection.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
So when we talk about DOT designing something, and I've been to several of those meetings now at different intersections, because right. one of their key components at every one of those meetings when they want to do something is it's one of the most dangerous intersections in Fairbanks.
Yep. And yeah, and that's where the public input process needs to be fixed. The DOT kind of has to think ahead 10, 15 years. That's the start of their planning process. And then when, by the time the public gets involved in that particular one, I was at a meeting, goodness, this is 4 or 5 years ago, that they were talking about the GARS intersection, and I couldn't believe it. It just floored me. But it was so far down the road that the public really doesn't have a valid opportunity for input. And I don't know. There's a number of things that need to be fixed in state law, and that is one of them. The DOT's planning process. It isn't the DOT employees' fault. It is the planning process that we have to take a serious look at, because that intersection is going to be a source of irritation for years to come.
Well, and none of these intersections are ever designed, or they can claim they're designed to be more safe.
Right.
But that's all on the responsibility of the drivers.
Exactly.
And
yes.
And so it should never be, in my opinion, when they're discussing these intersections, they should be telling people the truth and say, this is how we make our money. This is how DOT stays alive and afloat, is we have to have projects every year to watch over so we can collect those federal dollars.
You're absolutely correct. That is the underlying driver of all these projects.
And it's not that we need to redesign it for safety.
Yep. We got another call, Alan. We're coming up close to the half-hour break, so keep that thought in mind, and we'll go on to another one. Good morning. You're listening to KFAR, and who am I speaking to? There we go. Good morning. You're listening to KFAR, and who am I speaking to?
Lloyd, hi.
Lloyd, how you doing?
Oh, all right, guy. No, safety is not necessarily the overriding concern. If you decide to lower the speed limit to Anchorage to say 40 miles an hour, almost everybody would vote. I'm sorry. Do you need a break? Is that what?
No, we're good.
Running?
Yep.
Oh, all right. Well, if we vote to lower the speed limit to 40, why we would overwhelmingly vote against such a thing, knowing that a couple of lives will be lost. You have to consider cost and benefit, of course.
Yes.
Now, you take this intersection through over there on University and Airport. I mean, as far as I can tell so far, I only went through it once, and I could not believe it, the inefficiency that results from having to drive, you know, towards Wainwright, then do that U-turn and go around.
Yep.
I mean, I've hit the traffic at that intersection many times, and of course it's irritating to wait a bit, but you have these nice, efficient two-lane left turns, and it worked quite well, I thought.
Yep.
This seems absurd, and I would so love to find whoever designed it, who's responsible for that. I don't know. Maybe I may be wrong. It may be the more efficient. But safety is not the only concern. No.
Nope.
You have to balance. My exhibit A is the same thing with masking. This colonel from Eielson comes onto his school board. I'm dying to testify, but I don't get a chance. And he says, if we save one case of COVID by masking all these hundreds of kids, it will have been worth it. How ridiculous.
Right. Yep.
How ridiculous. You have to weigh the cost. The cost is, of course, many inconveniences, et cetera. Billions of minutes. I counted it up. Billions of minutes of kids inconvenience. Well, is that worth it? Well, you have to weigh it, right?
Yep.
You don't just say, well, we saved a life. No, that's not the overriding concern.
Yep.
You value, weigh the life against the cost.
Yep.
And the cost is not necessarily prohibitive.
Right. Yes. Good thought. We'll pick that up. Right now, the music means the satellite's coming overhead. It's going to take control, and we got to take a break for news and a few more commercial announcements. So stay with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR.
More Our Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
World leaders in New Delhi, India this weekend. It's the G20 Summit. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, what are your expectations?
My hope that India's presidency of the G20 will help lead to the kind of transformative change our world so desperately needs.
Both Russian President Vladimir Putin and Chinese President Xi Jinping not in attendance. They are sending representatives, though. California Congresswoman, former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, she's running for re-election in 2024. Posting the announcement on X, it reads, "Now more than ever, our city needs us to advance San Francisco values and further our recovery. Our country needs America to show the world our flag is still there with liberty and justice for all. That's why I'm running for re-election. And respectfully ask for your vote." Pelosi, first elected to Congress back in 1987, first became Speaker in 07. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The arrival of indoor plumbing in an Alaska village is a godsend for residents who can now turn on a tap for their drinking water or start a machine to do their laundry. But most of all, they're grateful to say goodbye to the honey bucket, the humble indoor pail that provided relief in homes without plumbing. The final water and sewer hookups came this spring and summer in Akiachok, a Yupik village about 400 miles west of Anchorage. Health officials say the plumbing is more than a convenience. It's critical for better health. More than 3,000 homes in Alaska, concentrated mostly in 32 villages, lack running water. The people who live in them are among more than 2 million Americans who don't have basic indoor plumbing, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Native infants in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta are hospitalized at five times the national rate for respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, according to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. Akiachok resident Catherine Wasili said, "I was so happy I got water that I kept doing my dishes," but she said, "I'm really happy that I got that thrown."
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Fairbanks Urology, an Alaska UroLift Center of Excellence and expert care provider for men's health needs, with Dr. Tony Nima.
Benign prostatic hyperplasia, more commonly known as BPH, is not prostate cancer. 50% of men over 50 have BPH, and that number grows as men get older. UroLift is a minimally invasive procedure that can help with BPH symptoms as well as save your bladder. It is done in the office and does not involve surgery or general anesthesia.
Visit FairbanksUrology.com.
At the Fairbanks Rescue Mission, we've been sharing stories of vulnerable people whose lives have been profoundly affected by your generosity. These stories are illustrations of why it's so important to give where you live, where you can participate in your community's well-being and actually witness the impact of your involvement. As fall approaches and winter threatens, those who live life below zero on the streets of Fairbanks become increasingly at risk. As winter demand increases at the mission, we brace for the 50,000 plus meals, the 36,000 bed nights, and nearly 900 men, women, and children who will come to us for help this year. Of course, that means raising funds. We weren't started by some government committee. The rescue mission was founded by a Fairbanksan named Jimmy Barefoot in 1974. He saw the need and didn't ask permission to do the right thing. He went to work because he understood what it meant to give where you live. So be a Fairbanksan like Jimmy Barefoot and give where you live this year at thefairbanksrescuemission.org. That's fairbanksrescuemission.org.
I wanted to let you know we had a terrific dinner last night at Silver Gulch.
Silver Gulch? I thought they were closed.
They have been open since last October, with dinner Wednesday to Sunday starting at 4. Last night was our second visit.
Oh, I always love their food. Do they still serve the beer cheese soup?
Yes, and a lot of our longtime favorites as well. Last night, I tried the Brick Oven Club, and it was so good. I also tasted the miso steak. Perfection.
We used to love going there. I can't wait to go back.
Silver Gulch. Yes, we are open in Historic Fox, Wednesday to Sunday from 4 p.m.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. And there were a couple of callers that were in line that didn't stay with us. Don't blame you for that. But if you want to try again, we'll see if we can take your call. This is Mike Prox filling in for David Pruse. And we are talking... Today we're talking about talking, and we're getting a lot of calls, so that is good. Good morning, you're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Mike.
Mike, go ahead.
Well, I heard comments about the intersection. And yes. I went through it the other day for the second time, coming from the Steve onto the ridge headed to North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
The main light turns green. I go through. I get to the second light where the traffic cuts across to go down the airport way.
Yep.
The light turns red. I stop. Look in my mirror. I think the guy behind me is going to hit me. Look back up, and the light had turned green again and never let the traffic cross.
Yep.
So it's like, I don't know what was up with that.
Yeah.
The biggest reason I'm calling about the library, the library. Renovation on the library.
Yes.
Now, this is what I don't understand. I got a friend that's working there. They took out 50-year-old solid oak bookcases, not even warped, threw them in the dumpster and threw them away, and replacing it with particle board shelving bookcases.
Oh, my goodness.
It's unfathomable.
Yep.
That you take beautiful lumber that have been there for 50 years and have not warped, and it's all the... We said, well, why did they do it? They wanted lighting on their cell, on their bookcases like North Pole Library.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah. What are people thinking? You spend all this money, take out very expensive, beautiful oak, and replace it with chipboard, cheap, throwaway stuff that's not going to last 20 years.
Yep. That's for another one. We got to look at the process for public comments and get a lot more awareness of what's going on before those projects get so far down the road. Thank you for calling. We have another caller.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Randy.
Randy, what's on your mind?
Well, the upcoming local election is on my mind. You know, the voting day is October 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
There's some early voting there, too. But I'm particularly a little bit concerned about the city council. Right now, the city council is kind of evenly split. You know, I've got three conservatives and three persons that are probably a little more toward the left, I think. You know, I don't know
mm-hmm.
everything about them. But the election is coming up, and the two incumbents that will be up for election, because their term is coming to an end here, is Lonnie Marnie, who I think is a good person, and John Ringstad. But I just now discovered that... lady running against, that will be running against John Ringstad is Shoshana Kuhn, and she had been previously on the city council, and she's a nice lady. You know, I talked to her a little bit in the city council chambers there back in 2019 when they were attempting to pass a very bad ordinance, in my opinion, Ordinance 6093, which was a sweeping, massive anti-discrimination ordinance that had a whole bunch of different categories. And I worry about this because it's just going to plague businesses and cause, you know, unnecessary hardship where, you know, sue happy lawyers can get in there and
mm-hmm.
Have a rampage against businesses. Anyway, that ordinance, 6093, actually was passed in the early part of 2019, but the brave mayor, Jim Matherly, vetoed it, thankfully. And I say brave because he had a firestorm of hate mail that came from out of state as well as in state because he vetoed that. But he saved Fairbanks and saved our freedom, in my view. And but the people that voted for that back then, the four council members, two voted against it and four voted for it to pass it before it was vetoed, was Shoshana Kuhn, that was one of them, June Rogers, who is presently on the city council, Valerie Therrien, who used to be on the city council, and Catherine Otterston.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worry about if Shoshana Kuhn comes back and if we don't, and if Lonnie Marnie gets voted out, I'm afraid that if they get four people in there that are to the left, that they're going to reintroduce that and try to pass that. So be very careful, I would say this to city voters, be very careful who you vote for, and please vote for, in my opinion, Lonnie Marnie and John Ringstad.
All right. Thank you for that. And, yes, the vote is coming up. I believe the election is the 3rd of October, first Tuesday in October. I think that's the 3rd. Early voting starts on the 18th of this month. And let's see, you can, there's going to be a voting station at the Shoppers Forum. You can go down to the Fairbanks City Hall, or you can go down to the Borough Clerk's Office or the North Pole City Clerk's Office and vote early if you want to do that. If you think you're going to forget, vote early, then you don't forget. Absentee process is available. You have to talk, you have to send an email is the easiest way to the Fairbanks North Star Borough Clerk's Office, and you can apply for an absentee ballot. They will get that right back to you, and you can vote that absentee ballot, and you're done. You don't have anything else to worry about, and you can even go out and campaign for your favorite candidate. But those options are available, and it is very important. First step is to cast a vote. We have very low turnout in the municipal elections in general, and that means in many cases, if it's a close race, it means that the voting turnout is around 25-30%, 30% on a good year. So about 10% of the people are electing. We need to get out, pay attention, and do vote. Well, we're going to move on, Randy. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Hi, Mike. It's Tim.
Tim, what's on your mind?
I'd like to let's go back to the ore hauling thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of with you, I think, more so. I'm pretty disappointed in a lot of my friends who just absolutely are dead set against it from day one.
Yep.
I've spent my life in aviation, and I'd like to, this is from a aviation lawsuit that was filed. There was a really good statement that came out of the administrative law judge, and he said, or they said, "What safe does not mean risk-free."
And that is important. They're just, you cannot eliminate risk.
Right.
And so, we all have different measures. The older we get, the less risk we want to take on. But we can't sort that out in a public debate at the time. And there is a standard set.
Yeah. I'm not enthused about the trucks. I live on Pega Road. I'm going to deal with them every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to bring up something right now. In front of my house, which is on one of the roads that the borough calls an orphan road,
yep.
Has never had a dime of taxpayer money spent on it. We have a person who's developing some property on one end of it, and we've been dealing with them for a few years now,
mm-hmm.
and they continually they've been to court with the borough. They continue to not follow the zoning rules. Blah blah blah. So right now, I have a 10-yard dump truck running back and forth in front of my yard almost every 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that, now this is the third day in a row. And I have talked to these people and said, look, you guys need to be good neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys that's running the thing stopped me yesterday and said, we got the equipment. When we're done, what do you think about us running down here and taking the potholes out? And I said, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, do it. The road gets plowed by me and my neighbors. We do it. But I use this analogy to liken it to the ore haul deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kinross, I think this could have been done better than it's been done. I think, and you wanted to talk about talking. It's being talked to death, and the letters to the editor are what, one-sided as hell.
Right.
I think Ken Ross is kind of shooting themselves in the foot because a lot of the people who are dead set against it probably aren't dead set against Ken Ross, but they definitely are turning that way now. So
yes,
it's just, it seems like a bad situation no matter what way we go.
Yes, that is unfortunate, and I think I wouldn't be surprised if Ken Ross is saying, whoops, we should have done that a little better.
Yeah, and I don't know if anybody's ever, I know that the money thing has to pencil out to make it profitable for them.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were running belly dumps, the same old belly dump size truck, would everybody still be upset? That'd be, just a rhetorical question. The other thing is Gary Wilkin, who is big on the anti-truck thing, I got into it with him on Facebook. For him, he's the what is the CEO of the gas interior gas company now.
Right.
And I told him, I said, wait a minute. It's okay to haul liquefied natural gas up and down the Parks Highway all day long, and then you're going to haul it from the haul road, which goes, there isn't as many, or down from Prudhoe,
right.
There isn't as many bus stops, but they like to talk about running over the school buses with these trucks. And I told him, I said, so it's okay if one of the natural gas trucks turns over, pierces the haul, and burns a school bus, burns all the kids to crisp, but if they get run over by an ore truck and the dirt gets buries them, that's not okay?
Right. There's a double standard going on there.
Well, yes. But there isn't as many trucks either. I get it. But
yeah,
it just goes back to the statement, safe does not mean risk-free.
Right.
And he didn't want to, after I said that, he didn't want to acknowledge it. You know, it's like,
right.
Wait a minute. You're all right. Thanks for letting me rant.
All right. Very good. We have to go on to a commercial break. We'll hear some words from our sponsors, and we will be right back. Stay with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Stay informed of what's happening on the firearm scene today. Tune in to Shooter's Corner with your host, Laura Berkowitz, for news and conversation on guns, your Second Amendment rights, local events, and important legislation. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers Auto Repair has been helping interior Alaskans care for their cars and trucks for 50 years from their same location near the airport on Dale Road. Listen in to Shooter's Corner every Thursday morning at 11, right here on KFAR Radio.
Your road is where you find it with the Cooper Discover AT3 family of tires from GCR Tires and Service. Redefine the limits of Alaska's open roads, and they'll take you to places you've never been before. Aggressive and tough on rocks, loose gravel, and mud when you're off-road, exceptionally quiet and responsive on the road. The Cooper Discover AT3 family of tires. Buy yours at GCR Tires and Service. The Tire Guys. Taming the Alaskan Road. Van Horn at Cushman.
At Staples, you can count on every project being print perfect, guaranteed.
I need presentations and business reports printed, and they have to be perfect.
I need beautifully bound booklets for my business.
Your presentations and booklets will be in captivating color, beautifully bound, and will be done right every time. That's our print big promise. And right now at Staples, get $10 off your document printing on orders of $40 or more. Try Staples and see the difference. Ends 9/30. Exclusions and restrictions apply. See associate or visit staples.com/print for details.
We're going abroad for the first time in years. To Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Highs level off around 57 today under cloudy skies. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, 44. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Chance for isolated showers, high of 64. Temperatures near average Sunday and Monday, with highs from the upper 50s to the low 60s. Showers possible both days. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. This is Mike Prox filling in for David Prus on Problem Corner. And we have a caller on the line. So, good morning. And who am I speaking with?
This is John.
John, what's on your mind?
Well, I'll just kind of cut to the chase. You know, I'm real big on mining. You know, we made a history of living here in Fairbanks and also in Alaska. So I'm not against this project at all. The trucking, of course, everybody is. I understand that. But I really think that there was some real narrow-sighted and some selfishness put in early on to the DOT, not looking at a greater good for the interior where originally my thought was, and I've sent a letter back in January to the city council, June, but didn't hear anything back. I said that we missed an opportunity to build a rail from here to the Tok and Tetlin area so that eventually Canada could connect the rest of the line to us. It would open up so much tourism and also other industrial marketplaces. I just, you know, Hickel, God love him, God rest his soul. You know, you got to have some vision for Alaska. And Alaska Industrial Development Authority, ADA, right now, currently, and this was in that letter that I sent to the city council, they're looking at and funding a feasibility study to build a rail, and I want to say it's from Amber, and I apologize if I'm wrong, to haul their product in back into Anchorage. Now, that's just how Anchorage thinks. And I'm born and raised here in Fairbanks, and I am absolutely just, I got a pit in my stomach for the fact that we need to grow up here and expand our economic and industrial age. And if we did something like that, yeah, it might cost about $200 million, but that's where ADA comes in, right. The federal government comes in, and the state of Alaska legislators and governor.
Yep, I agree. I think we were caught a little bit flat-footed. And we do need to look ahead. We need to use this project as an example of the need to think ahead. There's going to be, I think, a lot more development out in the upper Tanana region. The military has a desire to complete the railroad at least to Delta Junction or to Fort Greeley.
That's
what we need to focus on is going into the future. This project, it's only permitted for 5 years, and I don't mean to minimize that. I appreciate the concerns over that. But I am expecting development out in that area, mining, to pick up and be there for a couple of decades at least. And we need to take another look at the railroad, a more serious look, and see if we can put something together there.
Well, and you know, you're so on point there, Mike. The thing that I was surprised about is how the Alaska Railroad, and I had to deal with them, I won't say what my last name was, but I had to deal with the Alaska Railroad and the state of Alaska quite some time ago, and I got to understand how selfish they were and kind of hidden and close breast or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They want to keep their jobs. Well, I totally get that. In order to keep your job, you have to grow, you have to expand, you got to make money. You can't become dormant. And so I'm just so surprised that the state of Alaska, being the Department of Transportation, didn't say, hey, well, we might slow this project down by 2 or 3 years, but maybe it's a win-win for everybody. All I want to see is a win-win for everybody.
There you go.
I'll let you go, Mike. You're doing a great job. The other thing that's there real quick is you were right on point about the Fort Wainwright, the cooling ponds. Like I said, again, born and raised here, a lot of accidents on that road, and you're very truthful, and thanks for filling in for David. Oh, and the last thing is ADA, it was the CEO, board guy, Dana Cruz, that approved the study for that rail, so we need a study done for us. Have a great day.
All right, very good. Thanks for calling. Good call. Well, that's different. We need to take this opportunity and look at it that way, handed to us by the Moncho Project. There, I don't know, and we got to look at it, see if it pans out, but we need to take a serious look at, well, and they are, by the way, the DOT is looking at the, what they call transportation corridor from the Richardson Highway transportation corridor, if you will. And that's where we need to get involved in that conversation, evaluate what is going on, all of the exploration that's going on there. And there is some probability, I don't know what it is, but there's some probability that there will be more activity. And it could very well justify expanding the railroad. We have a call. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Yeah, this is Ray at North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just want to say a comment real quick. You had some good callers.
Sure.
Let them fall and let the Crusaders ball. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you. All right. Yes, so we've had a lot of good conversation on a number of things. We get involved in this. I'm not blaming anyone. It's just hard to do. But we get involved in these conversations when it is too late, effectively. And the process is sort of designed that way. To a degree, it has to. There has to be enough thought put into something before they, if you will, bother the public with it. But if it looks like the state wants to go through DOT or whatever project, if it looks like you're going to go through with that, then it pays to get that public involvement process accomplished ahead of time. And right now it is difficult for the public to get involved, and we just get in acrimonious arguments if we get involved too late. That's to be expected. There were a lot of good ideas brought up by the Advocates for Safe Alaska Highway. I think that will result in an improvement of the project. But at this point, at least my opinion, is it is too late to focus on stopping that project. They've gone through the process, in my mind. They talked to the Department of Environmental Conservation. That's the State Department. It was the Corps of Engineers that actually makes the decision. And yes, Kinross did what was in their best self-interest. Could they have afforded a mill? I don't know. That's irrelevant. In the permit, the decision was made by the Corps of Engineers, I believe, that there was less environmental impact by authorizing or permitting the trucking of the ore as opposed to locating the mill at the mine. And that's just based on the facts that were in front of them at the time. So that decision has been made. I think we are further ahead as a community accepting that decision, whether we like it or not, and moving, looking forward. I think there is tremendous opportunities in that area for additional mining development, and there's going to be a demand for those minerals. So should be looking ahead. We've got another call. We've got a couple of minutes left. Good morning. You're on KFAR. And who am I speaking with?
Good morning, Mike. This is Mark. Concerning that route, it might be a time to look at the road into Chena Hot Springs from the other side of Eielson as an alternative route. They've been talking about that for many years over the decades. Redirecting our attention, however, we have a concern over Alaska's revenue resource base provisions being usurped. The section mines and mining section 28A190%. The new move now to completely eliminate the PFD.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the listeners should be concerned and inquire about the secret Alaska state legislative meetings concerning these vaccine passports. And I think you ought to stop that and clip it in the buds. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Yes, the 8010, that's an interesting one. Ted Stevens kind of made a valid comment. Do you want 50% of something or 90% of nothing? That's what we're up against. We're getting a lot of pressure from the feds. But the music is coming. That means the satellite's coming overhead. It is going to take over the program, so we're going to have to say goodbye. Thank you very much for listening, and tune in again tomorrow. Thank you for tuning in to Problem Corner.
5 FM Fairbanks, the heartbeat of Alaska.
Guns drawn in Pennsylvania. Lisa Brady, Fox News, the local, state, and federal agency.